if you have questions.
We'll have a comment and a question. It seemed to me, the comment first, that innovations might, with the dramatically changing world of publishing, offer a model because it has survived in such a sort of quixotic and idiosyncratic way, and that is to be where publishing itself is going. So maybe you have something to say about that. And the question, the specific question is, I first came to New Directions through Thomas Merton and Sidney.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And, I first came to New Directions through Thomas Merton and Siddhartha, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it seems to me that with Laughlin's death, his interest in, he was always, it struck me, interested in issues of spirituality, philosophy, and that doesn't seem to be the case as much anymore. I don't know if that's been a conscious decision, or maybe I'm just overlooking books that you have published. But so the comment first was about the New Directions as a model for publishing in the brave new world of the net. And the question is, has there been a conscious drifting away from that particular interest of Laughlin, or is there something I just don't know about that's going on?
So I think that was kind of a two-part thing.
It is two-part, and I'm sorry. I always hate two-part.
No, it's fine.
Ignore the first part. I'm actually more interested in whether, because I follow that kind of writing a lot.
Right.
It seems that there's less of it in the New Directions list these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think Laughlin's had particular things came to him. I was saying, sometimes it would seem from the outside accidental or by chance ways. And Merton was a similar kind of thing. And I mean, we've continued to publish Merton, and we're actually bringing out two little volumes of about spirituality. And so there hasn't really been like a specific choice not to do those kinds of books. But also, I don't think Laughlin ever specifically. I mean, there was. Certain things about India and poetry, but we still do bring out those kinds of books as well about, you know, but maybe not overtly so, if that makes sense. I don't. But as far as like the first part of your question was about a model of publishing house. I mean, I think. It's. Like I said, it's a balancing act, but we are fortunate in the sense that we've had this time over the years to build this backlist, and that's a lot of what we rely on. I mean, besides more and more on our front list too, but publishers now it would be really hard to do that to start off like that as an independent, you know. Profit press. Usually the model now is a nonprofit press, which is, you know, great. But it involves a whole another side of fundraising and creative development and things like that. That's different, but you know, there's definitely some great presses now who are doing that. And then there's the university press model, which is, well, in the past supposed to be funded by the university, but I think that's been changing a lot. Yes, Wendy?
This question sort of actually relates to Fenton's question about New Directions as a model. A lot is being talked about digital publishing as a necessity. And I agree with Fenton's statement about your press as a model. And I'm curious, does New Directions see any things in digital publishing that might be innovative or interesting or beyond the realm of necessity, sort of exciting possibilities?
Right. I think we're in the middle of dealing with a necessity. I mean, you kind of have to, as a publisher, you have to give readers the option now of an ebook on the various readers. I mean, we're always going to be publishing books, as you know, we always have, and even have made a point of publishing books that you really can't see on an e-reader. You know, Knox is one example. This edition of Robert Valser's Microskips, which is these little notes he wrote on scraps of paper and translated, and the way we did it, you couldn't really do that on an e-reader. But I mean, I think now we have been trying to get a lot of our books onto, you know, that format. Poetry is different. Poetry, it's still a little tricky to do line breaks and things. I mean, it's yes and no in that, but we haven't quite embarked on the poetry side of that yet. It's mostly for the nonfiction and fiction for ebooks. But as far as, like, I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff happening, I think, literature-wise through the internet. But it takes, it's different kinds of forms, whether it's journals or, you know, there's this organization called Triple Canopy, and they do an interesting kind of way of presenting a little chapbook form within the realm of this visual presentation of, you know, but we haven't quite gotten to that. I mean, as a publishing house. Yeah.
I really enjoyed your talk.
Oh, thanks.
I have a question kind of about the poetry list, which, I mean, it seems like now that books by Nathaniel Mackey and Susan Howe and Michael Palmer are coming out on New Directions, it's fascinating that though all those poets kind of broke through on little tiny presses, almost like presses that New Directions used to be, and now they're seen as much more established mm-hmm. poets now, maybe as a result of being on New Directions. It's almost like the reverse has happened, right? You know, in terms of finding the avant-garde and then really almost establishing them. I mean, Ann Carson is definitely a counterexample of that, because uh-huh. I think her first or second book
right.
Came out on New Directions. But what's your sense of, at least with the American poetry list, and how that's changed, maybe just in the time that you've been there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's interesting, because I mean, I think looking back at what Lachlan was doing, I mean, Pound, Williams, all those people, they were actually already being published elsewhere, or had been, or things went out of print, and then Lachlan came in and picked up. I mean, he definitely wasn't publishing their first books. I mean, later on, with some of the more international people, I think like Borges and Neruda and some of those, it was a different story with their international stuff. But I don't know. It's funny, because, you know, I came really relatively late in the game in New Directions, but also a kind of continuing beginning for what we need to change as a publishing house. And I think even since when I started there until now, there's always been this sense of ND is more of a place where poets who have already published a couple, two or three books or chapbooks or something, you know, especially now. I mean, the publishing scene is so different than it was. I mean, there's so many great small presses and other resources out there, and again, truthfully, it is also part of the balancing act too, of trying to do it, you know, things. But I mean, and also wanting to stay committed to international poets, you know, which is, you know, and again, we're doing 30 to 35 books a year, including the fiction list, and a lot of the international poets actually are still there. You know, first books here, but in their country, they, you know, and it's, you know, it's really a hard sell for the most part, even if we, you know, love the book. So it, I don't know if that kind of answers your question, but I mean, we are starting a little pamphlet series that's modeled after a poets of the year. It was called, that Lachlan did, of these little chapbooks, and we're. There'll probably be about 40 to 48 pages, and we're, as a way of trying to do kind of more poetry in more affordable ways and without having to commit to like a full book, which is, you know, it's hard to do. I mean, we still do, but there's kind of like different, you know, we have the poets we've been publishing all along, you know, and then we have kind of the continuing reinventing of the backlist, you know, so... Like there's an Ezra Pound new poems and new selected poems and translations. So kind of with notes, you know, and so that, you know, with the new stuff. So there's kind of like different things that are going on. And so, yeah. But anyone else? Sure.
The This is maybe a bit more personal, a little less sort of about the business, but I'm interested in, I can think of the obvious ways that this work might have influenced, or this editorial position might have influenced your work, but could you talk about some specific and particular ways that your job influenced your poetry?
I think that's hard for me to say,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, it's hard.
Like I said, I think the skills that you learn in editing, you know, slowing down and things, it always helps with your writing and translating. But I think one of the things really is as an editor, your job is reading all of these things, and you're seeing so many different things and how people put things together as a book and stuff. And so inevitably, it comes into the, you know, unconscious or whatever, you know, and so you're just seeing these things. So I think that's, you know, one positive thing that happens with that. Is that kind of answer? Was there someone else? Or I could bring you the...
Thank you. I have a question about your translating work, or just getting... How would you encourage a young writer who's still exploring their own work, how mm-hmm. would you encourage a young writer to also spend time translating? Or would you encourage a young writer to do that?
I think translation is one of the most amazing things you can do to, that helps your writing in ways, because there's already this distance, and there's already this kind of template you're working with. I mean, and the way I got started was really just bilingual books of poets that I loved, you know, and then just first kind of just seeing, I think it's a fun way. It's also something Pound was very supportive of, is trying to, you know, you don't have to be perfect with the language, but being able to go back, read enough of the Spanish, sit there with a dictionary, look at it, and try and understand what's going on, listen to the sounds. I think that's great. I mean, and you're seeing something of the original language, and you're just, the next step is just messing around with kind of, it could almost be mathematical in the beginning. I mean, other people here translate too, and that's, I mean, I think it's different with prose and poetry, but I mean, I think it's a great thing to do. Yeah.
Just to follow on the point of translation, I'm interested in, also your own work as a translator. I mean, you're talking about when you began, which again is sort of very simple and almost mechanical. And now you're doing this very high profile work with Liu Xiaobo. And also along the way you did Su Dongpo,
oh, yes.
Which again, and you're doing these works with different presses. I mean, of course, we talk about New Directions, but Grey Wolf with the Liu Xiaobo. So, especially with the Su Dongpo, which was with Ugly Duckling, which is just a small publisher of books. I mean, it's just a little chapbook. So, I mean, how has that been to go from doing, you know, this sort of work translating classical poetry that you probably can't even expect much of an audience for, I mean, even with the print run, and now doing, you know, very high-profile work now with Liu Xiaobo that, you know, you're getting so much press for. I mean, just in a few years, I mean, what has that been like?
I don't know. I think, in grad school, I took a translation class, and that really got me motivated to do more. Before that, again, I was always playing around with bilingual poems and things like that. And then, I also had translated a collection of classical Chinese poetry for myself, and I actually brought it out myself. In four volumes, a little volumes divided into seasons, and that was just kind of an exercise. So I guess I kind of hopefully knew more of what I was doing before I was thrown into other stuff. But I don't know that the Liu Xiaobo that really kind of fell into my lap. I mean, that whole project, I mean, I could talk about that a little bit some other time, but it was, that question didn't really come into mind because Penn, the, you know, organization basically just sent me some poems and said, can you translate these through the magazine? And I said, okay, I'll translate a few of them. And then one thing led to another. And then, and it just kind of, yeah, it really happened really fast like that. And so, but the level, I mean, I had been doing it, you know, for a while, so hopefully it's not going to be bad. You'll decide. Does that kind of make sense? I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. But Ugly Duckling, I mean, they are great press. I mean, they brought out the Suisher, that Su Dongbo book, a chapbook, and they, you know, they do. I don't know if people are familiar with this press, but it's out in Brooklyn, and they do a mix of like finding scraps of materials and the of and then letterpress, but also not letterpress, you know, like, and it's, and they have a subscription service. You could see the books in the library, and it just, I had known some of those people, and they were interested in those, that set of translations, and then it was just, you know, I mean, they're not, I mean, you're not working on like on a deadline schedule with, you know, it's great because then you're just kind of like, oh, maybe this will work. And oh, and they're not getting paid anything. I mean, they're all devoted to the books, except for one person now, you know, who's the managing editor. And so you could, there, you're, it's so free to do, you're doing, you know, they get grant money and it goes through like three or four different ideas of what it could actually look like as a book, you know. They're just amazing little operation there that I think is steadily been getting a lot more kind of attention for what they do with books and poetry. Anyways, yeah. Anything else? One more.
So I was just thinking about the, you know, here we are in Tucson, and New Directions is in New York, and Ugly Duckling, and there are so many amazing presses there. Tucson is very lucky to have its own amazing presses.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But I was curious, so what advice might you have, or what thoughts might you have about, say, poetry in Tucson in a smaller city as opposed to poetry in a big city? What for folks here who might be MFA students, mm-hmm. who might be thinking about, oh, do I stay in Tucson? Do I move? Do I have to move to New York? What do I do? You know, any thoughts or advice for them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think, I think the community of writers can come from wherever, really. I mean, I don't see, I mean, New York, for the sheer number of readings per day you have, or per week, you know, it is incredible that that's there, you know, and you have various poetry foundations there in the city, you know, all contributing to that schedule of calendar of events. But as far as like small press stuff, I mean, the history of small presses and these things in the U.S., they're all over the place, you know. They're I think it you don't, and here it really seems like you have the space, and you know, rent is not cheap in New York, you know. And so a lot of people even have been moving away, you know, too. And so, you know, I'm not saying like it's either here or there. I think it really comes out of a local situation, you know, and the motivation and the energy that people have. And it really does seem like, hearing more and more about what's going on here, there, you know, it's an amazing community of things that are happening. I think, I mean, Minneapolis too has this kind of, you know, stuff happening. And I was out in Marfa last year, and you know, there's little things happen, you know. So I think, you know, I think poets, artists, I mean, they go where they make things happen, you know, within their own way. I think, I mean, not to, so I would, yeah, I mean, of course you can't be New York, I mean, for sure, for sure, but I'm just saying, like, if you're talking about, like, do I have to be there to do, you know, this kind of work? But, I mean, no, I mean, definitely not. I would, you know, I would say there's even more means elsewhere at this point. Yeah. Great. Well, I should also thank the East Asian Department, too, that were co-sponsoring this as well. So thank you. If there's...
Thank you very much, Jeffrey. Thank you so much for coming, speaking with us tonight. Everyone, come back tomorrow to hear Jeffrey read his own poetry and Catherine Larson. And thank you for coming.